God created the heavens and the earth. Don't let anybody tell you that we are here by some act of random chance. Don't let anybody tell you that we are here by accident. When you go to school and they teach you in the schools that we evolved, or they teach you in the school that somehow there was this big explosion that put everything in place, you take them back to Genesis 1:1 that says, "In the beginning, God." That settles everything right there.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the greatness of God seen in creating the heavens. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the greatness of God seen in creating the heavens.
Amen. We started our series by making a statement of God's greatness, that in the Psalms, the psalmist said that God is great. And then we looked at another psalm that said that not only is God great, but his greatness is unsearchable, that you could not exhaust God's greatness if you tried. And then we looked at another scripture that said that his greatness is incomparable, that it says, "For thou art great and thou art God alone," that nobody can come close to who this God is that we serve. And then we see that his greatness is exalted. "For the Lord is great and a great king above all gods." We looked at last week the animals, and we talked about the birds and how that God intricately designed each bird for specifically for flight, that it was no accident that the bird was designed like that. The bird didn't evolve into that, but that God designed the flight of the bird and that the thought that went into just the bird. Today, we want to look at the heavens. And as we look at the heavens today, I pray that God would grip our hearts and that we would see the greatness of our God. Open in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 1. In your notes, I have a scripture recorded from the New Living Translation. Psalm 19 and verse 1 in the New Living Translation reads this: "The heavens tell of the glory of God. The skies display his marvelous craftsmanship." The skies display his marvelous craftsmanship. If we look in the book of Genesis, we see in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Don't let anybody tell you that we are here by some act of random chance. Don't let anybody tell you that we are here by accident. When you go to school and they teach you in the schools that we evolved, or they teach you in the school that somehow there was this big explosion that put everything in place, you take them back to Genesis 1:1 that says, "In the beginning, God." That settles everything right there. And see, it makes more sense. And as I've said from this pulpit on more than one occasion, it takes more faith to believe in evolution. It takes more faith to believe in what man says than it does to just believe that God said it, God did it, and that we can put faith and we can take that to the bank. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you want to follow along in your notes this morning, I want to look at the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars, and the universe. Let's just look at this morning. This is some powerful stuff that we're going to talk about this morning. Just consider the earth, how that the earth revolves around the sun once a year. Now here, and I wish I tried to draw. I was going to try to draw this because it, to me, it's just so powerful. That, first of all, the earth spins on its own axis. It's just spinning on its own axis, just going around and around and around in circles. And not only is it spinning on its own axis, but now it's moving around the sun while it's spinning. It's moving around the sun. Now, if that's not enough, around the earth, we got a moon that's going around the earth every month. Man, this thing is just unbelievable. How that you got all this going on, and that, you know, as a result of that, that the earth at the equator, as it spins, watch this, now follow me because I'm going somewhere. It travels at a speed of 1,000 miles an hour. Now, once again, I'm not a scientist, so, you know, I don't know this, you know, from my own research and study, but so you can look, I've got it documented right there at the page where you can go find it from this source and from a lot of other sources. So here you have the earth moving around the sun at 1,000 miles an hour. Spinning around on its axis at 1,000 miles an hour. Then you have it traveling around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. It's spinning on its own axis at 1,000 miles an hour. It's going around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. And not only that, but it's a part of a solar system that's moving through a galaxy that's traveling at the speed of 500,000 miles an hour. And then it's a part of a galaxy that's moving through a universe that's traveling at 1.1 million miles an hour. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of speed. And it seems like with this spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, going around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour, going through the galaxy at 600,000 miles an hour, and traveling through the universe at over 1 million miles an hour, that somewhere it would only make sense that everybody is just flying off the earth, that we're just flying off the earth, that the water's flying out of the rivers, that the mountains are flying off of the earth. But turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Speaking of God or Jesus Christ, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Everything is held together by the power of God. Now, scientists will tell us, and I will agree, they will tell us that gravity is what keeps everything here on the earth. And that's true. But let's not stop there. Who put gravity on this earth? Now, if we were led to believe in this, and I know I might offend some people this morning, that's all right. I'll be willing, as I said, pwrglaze@aol.com. You can email me. I'll be willing to sit down and talk with you. But I find it hard to believe that an explosion took place and just set everything out there. Now, where does gravity come in there? You know, if it's just boom, then everything seems like it's moving out. And there's no thing that's going to hold stuff here on this earth. But there was a creator. There was a God who loves, as the songwriter said, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. That there's a God who loves you and me, who thought about, well, you know what? If I just let this speed take over, that things are going to be out of control. And because God is infinite in his wisdom and knowledge, he came up with this bright idea, ding, of gravity. And he said, well, I'll put gravity on the earth. Man couldn't have thought of that. And if man could have thought of it, he couldn't do it. I'll put gravity on the earth, and that will hold all things together. But who's holding this gravity together? God is holding all things together by the power of his word. Just the earth. Let's move from the earth. And before I move, I like this quote that I heard. It says, a Bible that is falling apart is an indication of a person who isn't falling apart. Amen. So this world, even though it could be flung into each and every direction, this world, even though it can fall apart, that if we know that God is holding all things together by gravity, he's bringing it together. You know, the reason that some people's life is falling apart, is flying in every kind of different direction. Now, do you think that if God is wise enough and powerful enough to hold things together through gravity so that they don't fly apart, don't you think he's wise enough to hold your life together if you'll just trust him? If you'll just call on him, and if you'll just trust him, that God will hold your life together. Man, if I look at God and I just begin to reason this thing out, God, I should be flying off the face of this earth, but yet and still, I'm still standing here with my feet planted on the earth because you have put something here to hold me down, that no matter what problems I have in my life, no matter what situations that I go through, God, you are going to hold me together. You are going to keep this thing together for me. All I need to do is just trust you. All I need to do is just trust you. The greatness of God. How great is our God just in the creation of the earth? What about the moon? We see, if you look in Genesis chapter 1 again, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let it be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Now, you know, I didn't even have this in my notes. I don't even have this in my notes. This is just, why did God put the sun and the moon and all that in place? What was one reason? So that, watch this now, so that man could mark time. How do we get 30 days in a month? Because that's the time that it takes for the moon to go around the earth. How do we get 365 days in a year? Because that's the time it takes for the earth to go around the sun. So God said that he put these things in place for us to be able to mark time. Now, we could get into leap years and all that. You know, that's another horse of another color. However, long before man figured out a calendar, long before man sat down and figured out, you know, that he needed a BlackBerry to stay on time, God already put it in his creation how we were to set time. And that's how we set time. But that wasn't even my point. I'm not, you know, if you put something in the offering for that one, we'll give it back to you. I'm not going to charge you for that one. That's free of charge right there. This is my point right here. Look at verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give the light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two lights, the greater light to rule the day, which is the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made also the stars. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven, in the sky, to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God has given us the moon. Now, you know, why do we have one moon? Some planets have more than one moon. We've got one moon. Well, because God only wanted us to have one moon. But think about what the moon does. The moon, two times a day, produces a high tide. And two times a day, produces a low tide. The moon, look how bad the moon is. It can pull the Atlantic Ocean and then push it back out again. It can pull the Pacific Ocean and then push it back out again. Look how bad the moon is. But who made the moon? God made the moon. Now, listen to this. In your notes at the very end, the last couple sentences of your notes, it says, tides provide an important component of the ocean's currents. Without these currents, the oceans would stagnate along the seacoast of the world, and the death of marine life, both animals and oxygen-producing plants would soon follow. If it was just stagnant along the coast, that it would wipe out much of the wildlife, the animal life that lives in those regions of the sea. So what does God do? God allows this self-cleansing process to take place where he pulls the oceans up. It's almost like, you know, somebody on dialysis, right? You know, he pulls it up, recites, and then sends it back out again. What a powerful God that we serve. We can learn a lesson from the moon, too. We can learn a lesson from the moon. There was a judge who had this lawyer, and the lawyer was very obnoxious and, you know, spoke in rough language, and the judge would let him get away with it. And every time this lawyer came to court, he would speak in rough and obnoxious language, and the judge would let him get away. One day, the judge went to dinner with someone who was an observer of what was going on, and they said to the judge, "Why do you let this guy get away with this all the time?" And the judge said this. He said, "Uptown where I live," he said, "there's a widow who has a dog. Whenever there's a full moon, the dog barks all night." And so the judge didn't say anything else. And they kept eating. And somebody said, "Well, what are you saying, judge? You gave us that story. What about the dog and what about the moon?" And the judge replied, "Well, the moon just keeps on shining." We can learn a lesson from the moon. That when people criticize you, that when people bark at you, when people dog you out, when people attack you, when people come at you, that we need to be like the moon. And even though that dog will stay out there and bark all night long, that dog, barking at the moon all night long, that moon just keeps on shining. That moon don't back up. That moon don't hide away. That moon just keeps on shining. And I just want to let you know that when you get in trouble, when somebody attacks you, don't let anybody back you up. Don't let anybody turn you around. You just keep on shining for God. Keep on shining. The moon. Oh, what a powerful, powerful God that we have. Well, let's move on from the moon and let's look at the sun. Let's look at the sun. The sun was spoken into existence by the word of God. We already read Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. The sun is like a glowing hot ball of hydrogen gas. I mean, it's just out there and it's just filled with this hydrogen gas just burning up the skies of the universe. It's an extremely efficient source of energy. I said this a couple of weeks ago. If we as the planet Earth were placed any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. Just a short distance closer, we'd burn up. Just a short distance away, we would all freeze. Now, how in the world can something like that happen by accident? How in the world can this Earth just maintain this pattern for all these years, however old the Earth is? I know there's a lot of debate as to the age of the Earth, but however old the Earth is, how can it just maintain that pattern so that we don't burn up and freeze? There must be a God. If we were to empty the sun out, you could fit 100, or you could, if we emptied it out, you could fit 1 million Earths into the sun. That's how big it is. But here's the thing that blows me away. Watch this now. Oh, how great is our God? How great is our God? If we were to go to the sun is 93 million miles away. If we were to get in the car and drive at 65 miles an hour, it would take us 163 years to drive to the sun. Now, I've been trying to figure this out, and I haven't figured it out yet. But where's heaven? Heaven, or where God is, where as we read in the Bible, his centralized presence. We know that God is omnipresent. We know he's everywhere. But where is his centralized presence? Well, it's in heaven, because the Revelation tells us that as we look through the scripture. Now, where is heaven at? Heaven is way out there somewhere. I don't know where it's at. You know, heaven might be As far as we know, and what man has observed, you know, man hasn't observed anything that would look like heaven, you know, a place where, you know, angels are worshiping, you know, life on another planet, you know. So evidently, heaven must be beyond the realm of what man can observe. It's beyond the realm of what man can observe. We can observe the sun. It takes 163 years at 65 miles an hour to drive to the sun. Let me show you something that's going to blow your mind. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke. Let me see here. Let me see if I can find this. Luke chapter 23. And we see Jesus on the cross with the two criminals. One is railing and one is questioning. We see that one opens up and asks Jesus to come into his heart, so to speak. Look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Where is the kingdom of God? It's in heaven. I mean, there's a whole lot of, we could get into a whole study on the kingdom of God, but in this passage, believe me, take my word for it, that the kingdom of God is in heaven. Jesus' kingdom is in heaven. The sun, 93 million miles away, we can observe that. Take us 165,000 years to get there. Jesus told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. Today you shall be with me in paradise. That for God, he don't have to get in a car. He don't have to get in an airplane. He don't have to get in a rocket ship. But God could travel millions and millions of miles at just the blink of an eye. And today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Man, if that don't fire your soul up, I don't know what does. That God could take us from heaven to earth, and that when we pass away, that we don't have to start jogging to heaven, and we're going to get there about 2 billion years later. But we know that when we close our eyes in death, that the Bible says to wake up is to be prostan theon, to be looking face to face with God. And that lets us know, man, that ought to give us some comfort. That whenever we go through some problems, that whenever we go through trials in life, that we don't have a God that's out there, but we have a God who's right here. And if he's not right here, he can get here. Oh, praise him. If he's not right here. I remember one time I was leaving the church, and I was driving up Penn Avenue, and I got over there where Penn and Graham intersect, and there was an accident on the right-hand side, and I was driving through, and there was a lady coming from the other direction, and she was rubbernecking, and she was not looking where she was going, and she ran right into me head-on, and we crashed, and I saw myself starting to go through the window. And just as I lifted up out of the seat and was going through the window, the airbag deployed and hit me in the face and knocked me back. Quicker than quick, that quick, that airbag came and saved me from going through the windshield of that window. I'm here to tell you that no matter what you're going through, no matter what trials you're dealing with, no matter what troubles you're dealing with, that whenever you go through it, there's a God. He's right there. He's right on time. He's right in the midst of it. God is not late. He's not going to come an hour later, but he's right there when you need him. Right there when you need him. Today, God bless you.
For joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating the Heavens. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the greatness of God seen in creating the heavens, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.